I was reading, or as I was studying for this, I got to thinking about it. You have to know the background and understand a little bit about Genesis to understand where we're going with this. But in Genesis chapter number 12, God shows up on the scene and comes to Abram. God doesn't show up on the scene in chapter 12. Abram does. And Abram is given what we call the Abrahamic covenant. It's found in Genesis chapter number 12, and then the first three verses of that, I'll flip over there and read them to you real quickly. And the Bible says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless him that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." And so we see the Abrahamic covenant being given in Genesis chapter number 12. At the time that this happened, Abram was 75 years old. 75 years old when he was called out, when he left and he went to the land of Canaan, or he started his journey rather to the land of Canaan as God had told him. So 75 years old, he starts this journey. As he goes along this journey, he has some hiccups. How many of you know that life has hiccups? Can I get a witness right there? But here he is promised a seed, promised to be made a great nation, and yet he has no child. 75 years of age, and him and his wife, she was 10 years younger than him, so she'd have been 65 years old. And something that I'm just going to throw out there, in chapter number 12, the king looked upon Sarai at 65 years old and said, "Man, she looks good." I'm just going to throw that out there, all right? You take it however you want to. But the king wanted Sarai to be his wife, and she was 65 years old. Can I get a witness right there? All right, I'm talking about Hubba Hubba, I reckon. Anyhow, Abram, at 75 years old, is called and leaves out to head out under the commandment of God and to do what God has commanded him to do, and he has no child. But yet God has told him that he would be a father of a great nation. As we look at this passage of scripture, and as we think, we just seen where his name got changed, but I want to bring this up. Abram means exalted by the Father. And in chapter 17, his name is changed to Abraham, which means a father of a multitude. And yet, come on now, 75 years old, he has no child. He has hiccups along the way. At 85 years old, him and his wife concoct a plan. He's 75 years old. God's telling him, "I'm going to make a great nation out of you." And he's saying, "Hey, wait a minute. We can't do this." Well, let me go back. Let me backtrack a little bit. Before he was 85, I'm not sure, I tried to find an age on this, but before he was 85, he went back to God in Genesis chapter number 15. He said, "God, now you said that this was going to happen, and yet here I am without a child." In Genesis chapter number 15, in verse number 2, "And Abraham said, Lord God, what will thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir." So Abram in chapter number 15, I'm not sure how old he was at that time, but he was over 75. He starts questioning whether or not God's going to give him what he promised him in chapter number 12. So God gives him a covenant. Once again, we see it instituted. We've seen it drawn out. I did this in my Sunday school class. I won't do that tonight. It'll take up too much time. But God shows us a picture of a covenant through Abram in chapter number 15. Chapter number 16 comes along, and Abram is 85 years old. He still has no child. He's been given a promise at 75 years old that he would be a father of many nations, and yet he has no child. At 85 years old, him and his wife, let me say this, his wife primarily, comes up with a plan. He follows along in it, and before you know it, we have Abram having a child with an Egyptian slave that is Sarai's handmaid named Hagar. At 85 years old, or Abram is 85 years old, Hagar conceives, and at 86 years old, Ishmael is born. an illegitimate child, not the promised child, not the one that God had promised to him, but a child that was illegitimate, a child born to a slave, a child born to a Gentile, and that's the only child that he has. He's 86 years old. 86 years old. Come on, I need some help right here. 11 years has passed by from the time that God said, I'm going to make a great nation from thee, of thee. Then we find out, we move over, go through chapter number 16, see Ishmael being born, find out that Abram's 86 years old when Ishmael is born. And chapter number 17 starts off, and the very first verse I read to you tells us that Abram is 99 years old. Now, I need some help right here. 99 years old, 24 years has passed since he was told that he would make a great nation of him. He's 99 years old, and Sarai becomes pregnant. At 100 years of age, Isaac is born. Abram dies with only one child, one promised child, one illegitimate child, one promised child, Isaac, and a promise that God is going to make a great nation out of him. There's a lot of things that I could say right here. One of the things I want to point out, and I'm not going to preach, is this. Abram never got to see the promise of God come to fruition. A lot of us are going on a word from God, and you may not get, I need some help right here. You may not get to see it in your lifetime. That doesn't mean that God's any less God. I need some help right here. I was thinking about this thing in this respect, that out of this great nation, you would have thought, I'm just, y'all help me right here. But if you would have thought that if Abram had a promise to be this great, this father of many nations, that it would have been like, what's the family that's got like 1,900 kids? Don't act like y'all don't watch TV and know what I'm talking about. What are they called? The Duggars. All right. You would have thought it'd been the Abraham and Sarai Duggars. Can I get a witness right here? I mean, surely if God's going to make a great nation, he's going to have a bunch of children to make it. But God just gives him one. Y'all hearing me right now? I want to show you something. I hope it'd be a blessing to you tonight. And I called this thing small beginnings. Small beginnings. The Bible tells us in Zechariah chapter number 4, verse number 10, and who has despised small beginnings? Can I say this? Not many of us like them. Not many of us like them. We like the finish line. We like all the hype leading up to the race, and we like the finish of it. But there is no fun in between the start line and the finish line. It is all work. Can I get a witness right there? It's all business. And you and I have this mindset, and I have it. I know you do. We want the end results. I want God to do something great in my life, but I want him to do it in a hurry. Come on now. I don't want to have to go through all that. I don't want to have to wait 24 years for my promise that I feel God has given to me. God, now I want you to know that now, God gave him a promise and never told him when it was going to come. He didn't say, Abram, I'm going to do something for you, but it's going to come 24 years from now. He gave Abram a promise and nothing else. And Abram went through 24 years of his life wondering, is God going to fulfill the promise that he gave to me? Matter of fact, that's why we find Abram in Hebrews chapter number 11, in the faith chapter. That's exactly why we find him, because Abram was walking by faith. He had no idea how God was going to accomplish it. All he did was serve God where he was at. But God started it with small beginnings. What I want to say to you tonight, what I want to help you with, if I can, just for a few moments, is this. Don't get discouraged in small beginnings. Just because things hadn't worked out how you want them to work out. You have great dreams. You have praying. You got prayers that you've gone up to God, and God's shown you some things, and God has encouraged you with some things, and you're excited about your future with the Lord. And all of a sudden, it seems like we're moving in slow motion. I mean, from the time you was born up till you got saved, it seemed like it was a rat race, and now you're waiting on what God has for you, and it's, you feel like, come on, I need some help. You feel like it's slow motion. And if you're not careful, you'll get discouraged in these times. I want you to notice a couple of things with me, and we're going to be done in a hurry, hopefully. In this, I want you to notice the tragedy of small beginnings. The tragedy of small beginnings is this, that we become discouraged in them. When we have small beginnings, when things don't work out as quickly as we want them to, all of a sudden discouragement comes in. In Genesis chapter number 15, a perfect example of this, as Abram goes to the Lord and he said, Lord, what will thou give me, seeing I go childless? In other words, let's put ourselves in Abram's shoes for a minute. Abram's saying, God, you've given me a promise and yet I have no child. You're telling me I'm going to become a father of many nations and yet I have no child. I have nothing. What are you going to do? How are you going to handle this, Lord? And he got discouraged. I believe he got very discouraged right here. Matter of fact, he told God, he said, I need to see something. You prayed this promise back when I was 75 years old. I'm between 80 and 85 years old now. I need to know something, God. I need to know that you still remember me. I need to know that you ain't forgot your promise. I need somebody to help me tonight. How many of us ever felt like God has forgotten where you were at? He give you a sign. He give you something in your life. He given you a vision for people. He's given you something. And you feel like, good Lord, where are you going? Lord, I can't find you. Lord, I need something from you just to say, Lord, that you're still working in my life and you still have great plans for my life. But Abram was in small beginnings. The tragedy of it is that we oftentimes get discouraged by it. The tragedy of it is that it oftentimes brings a lot of doubt. Could you imagine 75 years old? I'm going to just say this. 75 years old and being told you're going to have a child is one of them things you say, okay. Need some help. Okay. 85 years old, you're going to have a child? Okay. 99 years old, and God comes to him again. I was telling my Sunday school class this morning. In chapter number 17, God comes to him at 99 years old and talks to Abraham again. He ain't heard from God in 13 years at this time. Could you imagine what he was thinking in his head? Well, first off, where you been? It's been 13 years. Second, this promise that you keep telling me about, you've been telling me about this promise for 24 years. I've heard this song and dance. Y'all help me now. I told my Sunday school class, y'all get unsaved just for a minute and go with me, all right? We are sitting here. This is how we react to those things. We can't deny it. We can't lie and say that we don't do this. Every single one of us is guilty of this. We get impatient. I'll get to that in a little bit, but the doubt begins to creep in. God's given you a promise. One of you preacher boys, God's given you a promise of great things he's going to do with your life, but it ain't moving as fast as you want it to. He's told you that he's going to do great things to you, and you're going to preach, and you're going to do all these things, and yet no church is calling. One of you Sunday school teachers, one of you teachers in our Awanas program, one of you teachers on our Sunday night classes, boy, God has told you, and you're excited. You want to see God do great things, and you want to see your class grow, and it don't seem to be growing at the rate that you thought that it should. Maybe there's something going on. Come on, I need somebody to help me right here. Maybe there's a wife in here that's been praying for her husband to come to church, and boy, you're real excited. God done give you a word that he's going to save your husband, and yet every Sunday and every Wednesday you get in a car alone. Drive over here to a church and walk into a church alone. Come down and sit on a chair all by yourself. Boy, we get real discouraged and we start letting doubt creep into our lives. And before long, we find ourselves in derision. We feel like almost as if God's making fun of us. Come on now. Let me break something down for you, try to help you. God changed his name in chapter number 17 at 99 years old with no child, no promised son. God changed his name from Exalted Father to Father of a Multitude. God, how are you going to change my name to Father of a Multitude when I don't even have one promised child? Come on now. I need somebody of faith. I know Abraham had a lot more faith than any of us, but let's just get real right here. Does that not almost seem like I have you ever felt like you're being made a fool out of? I'm not saying that that's where Abraham was, because Abraham had a lot more faith than you and I. But could you imagine having your name changed to a father of a multitude when you have no child? God's given you a promise. You waited 24 years for it. Say, what in the world is going on? 24 years later, come on now. God says, I'm going to change your name. If it wasn't bad enough that the promise hadn't come yet, now you're going to change my name to a father of a multitude. I see the tragedy of small beginnings. Listen to me. Don't get discouraged in your small beginnings. Abram, his story wasn't over. Help me now. His story wasn't over. Your story ain't over. You may not get to see what God promised, but your story ain't over. Small beginnings. I notice the temptation of small beginnings. The temptation of small beginnings, and we're moving along, is isolation from God. When we don't get what we want in the time frame that we want it in, all of a sudden we start backing off from God. I need some help right here. We start backing off. If things are going like we want them, and the Christian life is going like we want it to, we'll be in church every time the doors are open. But as soon as something don't go our way, and as soon as we feel like God has failed us, then all of a sudden we are tempted to just back off of any commitments that we made from the Lord. And we back off and become a recluse because we just don't want to even deal with it. Have you ever told somebody that God's promised you something and then it doesn't come, it ain't come, and all of a sudden you feel like embarrassed? You feel embarrassed? And you don't want anybody to see you. You don't want anybody to be around you. The temptation of small beginnings is isolation from God. The temptation from small beginnings is this: infuriation with God. Have you ever got mad? Come on, y'all. Am I just preaching to me? I'm trying to help y'all. Have you ever got mad about the situation because it ain't going like you wanted it to? Huh? You ever threw up some questions to God like, why are you doing this to me? And you told me that you told me you was going to put my marriage back together. Why has she walked out? Why has he left and not come back? You told me that my prodigal was going to come home, but yet I'm still standing on the porch and I'm still looking for him to come, and they still haven't returned. God, you've promised me some great things, but Lord, I'm struggling to even pay my bills. Matter of fact, God, if you don't show up in a big way before the night's over with, I'm liable not to be able to pay a bill this month. My family might have to go without water. My family might have to go without electricity. My family might have to turn back in a car, look for a new place to live. God, why are you doing this to me? I see the temptation of small beginnings is isolation. We're tempted to be isolated from God. We're tempted to be infuriated with God. Let me say this. We're tempted to impatience concerning the plan of God. Abram in chapter number 16, Hagar was, listen to me right here. Hagar was never supposed to be in the picture. If Abram hadn't gone against God and left Canaan and went down into Egypt because of a famine, if he'd have never left Canaan, if he'd have never left the land that God promised him, if he'd have never left where God told him to be, he never would have had a Hagar in the beginning. Now in chapter number 16, he's got a Hagar, and Sarai, his own wife, says, hey, we can do this. You can still, boy, I'll tell you what, we get on to her, and I have preached and got on to her, but I'll say this about Hagar, and you can agree with it or disagree with it, whatever you wanted to, but she wanted what was best for her husband. She wanted it. She wanted it. She had a crazy plan, and it was absolutely against God. It was absolutely sin, but she wanted Abram to be everything God said Abram would be. But we get impatient. The temptation is first we isolate ourselves from the Lord. Then we get infuriated with the Lord. We get upset with life. Let's not just say the Lord. Let's just say life. We get mad at the world. And then impatience kicks in. And all of a sudden we start trying to accomplish what God has promised. And we sidestep. We cut corners. We do everything that we can to make the end result what God said it would be without the journey to it. Better be careful. Let me say this. Small beginnings doesn't mean that God, when you see small beginnings, doesn't mean that God's not working. I'll be done. I'm moving on. The tragedy of small beginnings. We've seen the temptation of small beginnings. Last, the truth of small beginnings. I want you to notice that they are planned by God. They are planned by God. I don't have an idea. I don't have a clue. How many of you know this? My ways aren't God's ways. And I'm sure yours ain't either. So we don't have, but I know this, they are planned. I'm going to show you something here in a few minutes. But I know this, they are planned. They are planned for our life, and their purpose, not only are they planned, but their purpose is to make you, to strengthen you, and to prepare you for your promise. Help me right here. We want the end without the journey. We want the end without the preparation. But if we get to the end before we're prepared, then we'll make a mess out of the end. I'm a man. I think like a man. I act like a man. Everything else. My wife can bring a box to me, and it has something inside of it that you got to put together. I need some help right here. I open up the box and I sit the box up next to me. I look at the picture. Can I get a witness right here? Who wants to read? Huh? Who needs instructions? We're men. I need somebody to help me right here. I need some men to help me right here. We are men. We can handle this. You kidding me? This is a tricycle. You know how many tricycles I put together? You know how many bicycles I put together? Woman, these hands right here, I'm starting to feel like Major Payne. Woman, these hands. I had a moment right there, Brother Tommy. I was like, I get that thing out and I put that picture up there. I look at all the parts, I survey them. I say, oh, this is easy. Here I go. Come on now, I need some help putting it together. Gonna get a witness right here. Don't put it together. Who puts it together with a screwdriver? I'm going to get the drill.
That's right.
All right. That's so cheap made that you round the screws out. Come on. I need some help, y'all. I'm getting somewhere. Here we go with a drill. It says use a screwdriver, but yet we get the drill out. Man, we put that thing together and we get it all done and it's doing all this. We survey and say, man, they can't make a better product than this. This is, hey, come on, I need somebody to help me out right here. If I was doing this, if I was making this, this is how I would have done it. I don't know what they're doing. And what does your wife say? Read the instructions. You shut up and go to bed. Sorry. It was a reflex. Hey, see, here she comes. Why don't you just read the instructions? Why don't you just go to bed? Get on out of here. I need some help. Get on out of here. If I need somebody with small hands, I'll call you. Other than that, go to the bed. Just go. Go. We don't need to have a divorce over the tricycle. Go. As soon as she walks out, grab the instructions. We get to reading them, and all of a sudden, come on now, we got to start taking stuff back apart. But it's hard to do because we done rounding them out with a doggone drill instead of using a, come on now. So we in there talking about, come on, They didn't put a part in there. Yeah, they did. You had to throw it away because you messed it up. The point is that we're so interested in the end that we don't go through the preparation. We won't take our time. And the same way we are with putting a project together, no matter how small it is, the same way we are with that is the same way in mentality we are when it comes to life. We look at a picture and we got this picture in our head of what God wants us to be. And this picture in our head of our ministry and what God wants to do in our life. And we have this picture. And we get our drill out because it's faster. We survey everything. We survey the landscape. We try to figure out a way to get from here to there as fast as we can. And oftentimes, I need some help right here. We get over there, we get to that picture, and that picture don't look like it's supposed to. And so we have to stop, reboot, go back, and redo some things in our lives. Tragedy. It's a tragedy, really. But God has a purpose for small beginnings. God has a purpose for your small beginning, whatever it is. I know it ain't where you want to be. I know you're still waiting on the promises of God, but God's still working, even though it's just small beginnings. God has a purpose for them. He has a plan in them. He has a purpose for them in that it helps you and I. It prepares us, if you will. And then I want you to notice this. They're promoting. Not only do we see there's a plan, they're planned by God, and there's a purpose for them, but they're promoting these small beginnings. You know what they promote? Him. That's good. I don't care who you are. If we get to the end before we go through the journey, then we're promoting us. It's all about us. Come on now. If we get to the end before we're prepared to be there, it's all about us and what we've accomplished. But who can take credit for God? Who can take credit from God when he starts off with something so small, so minor, and does something so great with it? Who can do that? Hey, who can take credit for Abram and him being the father of a multitude other than God? He just had one child. He just had one son that God had promised. He had an illegitimate child, but he had one son that God had promised. And God did all that through one son. If he'd have had many sons, if he'd have had tons and tons of children, then we would have given credit to him. One child. A great nation. Glory to God. I want to read you something in Exodus. I love this passage of scripture, and I use it often, but I want to read it to you. In Exodus chapter number 24, God's given the children of Israel a promise, and he says this, listen to me right here. I'm in verse number 27, and I'll read through verse number 30. He said this, he said, I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. He goes on to verse number 28. I'm in chapter 23. I had you messed up there on the thing. 23, verse 27. He says, I will send my fear before thee and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. And I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. Verse 28. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before thee. Listen. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beast of the field multiply against thee. By little and little, I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. God ain't on our timetable. He don't always move big mountains in the time frame that we give him. Somebody help me right here. I know y'all all know this, but how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Small beginnings. all through our Bible, all through our church. I'm reminded of a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman having one child. I'm reminded of that one child, Isaac, and a barren wife named Rebecca, who through a supernatural miracle had two children. A deceiver, that one of those children, a deceiver named Jacob, who fathered 12 sons. A brother sold into slavery that became number two in command in the nation of, is everybody with me right here? A baby placed in an ark and sent down the river that would become a deliverer of a nation. Slaves that became a great nation. I'm thinking about the tabernacle, in the years of the tabernacle, a lamb, one little old lamb that paid for the sins of a nation. A shepherd who was anointed to be king and the greatest king over Israel. A vision by a cupbearer named Nehemiah. A boy who purposed in his heart not to defile himself named Daniel. A baby born in a manger. A lad with a lunch. Some fishermen that was just mending their nets. A prayer meeting in an upper room. A preacher with many failures who preached one of the greatest messages, seen one of the greatest responses, watched 3,000 people walk an aisle and get saved. A sinner saved by grace, knocked off a horse in the middle of a road. I said, God, I'll go to the Gentiles. I'll go to the uttermost. I'll make sure that those people in Lake Park, Georgia get the gospel. Small beginnings. Listen to me. Don't despise small beginnings. Just because things aren't going as you've planned them, just because things aren't going at the speed that you want them, does not mean that God is not working in your life. Trust Him. Help me right here. Trust the process. You may not get to see. Listen, you may not to see all that God's promised you and all that God said. You may not get to see it. But I promise you this. God is working through little things, small beginnings, to make that promise a reality in your life. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Dalton's going to go to that piano. You come around the altars tonight. Maybe you're frustrated. Maybe you're discouraged. The devil's causing you to doubt what God has told you, some of the things that God has promised you. Don't you get discouraged in small beginnings. Don't listen to the devil. He's a liar. God's begun a good work. God's begun a great work. He is able and He will accomplish it. Everything that God told Abram He'd do, He did. You hear me? Everything that God told Abram He would do, God did. And it all came from a small beginning. A great man, He said He'd make a great name. Boy, we sing about Abraham. About don't have a service where Abraham's not mentioned. God made a great nation out of it. Man, oh man, small beginnings. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You. God, I thank You, Lord, for church all day. Lord, I needed it. Lord, I thank You for the choir, Lord, the singing this morning. Lord, it was, Lord, a breath of fresh air for this preacher. God, I thank you for the singing tonight, Lord, how it touched my heart. I thank you for people who love you. God, love your word, love this church. Lord, that want to minister. God, want to see great things for you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Lord, there's some in here I know that's discouraged because things ain't going at the speed that they want them to. God, I pray, Lord, they be encouraged tonight. Small beginnings doesn't mean that you're not working. Lord, I pray that they trust the process. Lord, I pray that we get to see our promises. Lord, I believe you got great things for me, and Lord, I want to see them. I really do. Lord, in the event that I don't get to, Lord, may I have faith in the journey. God, I pray, Lord, that you would comfort us and strengthen us, Lord, for the journey, for what you have for us. And Lord, we'll be sure to give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise for it. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you for the great things that you've done. We pray all these things in the lovely name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise God.